If you are a smoker and you'd like to know how to quit the habit, then perhaps help is at hand, because joining us from Chemistry World is Richard Van Norden. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Chris.
You're going to tell us about these chemical strategies that can help people quit.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, it all seemed so simple. If nicotine is the demon driving tobacco smoking, then you just give smokers a nicotine fix and that'll keep your hands off the pack. But it's actually 30 years ago since the first nicotine replacement gum was developed in Sweden. And still, according to the US Centers for Disease Control, only 5% of those who try to quit smoking succeed in a year.
With that gum?
With that gum.
Which is not much better off than willpower, is it?
Yeah. But fortunately, chemists have got some new drugs up their sleeves. So number one, marketed in the UK as Champex, and it actually got draft approval on the NHS in March. And I think they're making a final decision in July, so this month. And what it does is it cuts the pleasure of smoking and it reduces the withdrawal symptoms. It's a bit like nicotine. It binds the nicotine receptors in the brain. It does produce dopamine, the pleasure chemical, just like nicotine does, but in a very slow, long-lasting, small sort of seep, whereas nicotine gives you that rush. So you can use it to sort of alleviate your withdrawal symptoms.
But don't you get hooked on the Champix then?
Well, as far as I'm aware, it's such a small seepage out that it's like nicotine replacement gum, but it's always there. But the clever thing about this is it's a bit like the gum, but if you lapse, if you decide to smoke a cigarette, this drug is already blocking the receptor that nicotine would normally go to. So you smoke a cigarette and you don't get the nicotine rush.
Hasn't it got an interesting history, this drug? Didn't it come from somewhere in Eastern Europe where it was from a tree originally? The idea, or the chemical clue that led to it, came from a tree in Eastern Europe, I think.
Yeah, the chemical came from the golden rain tree, which is a beautiful name, and that's been used in Eastern Europe since the 1960s by smokers wanting to quit. I mean, the chemists actually changed the structure of the molecule slightly, so it's not the same as the molecule you'll find in the tree, but as with so many chemicals,
like
came
aspirin,
from a
natural
product.
You know, aspirin came from willow trees. Aspirin is totally different, synthetic, but the chemical clue was the willow bark, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
So, how does the benefits on Champix compare with, say, Zyban, which made headlines about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, and other things like hypnotism and that kind of stuff?
Well, they're all actually fairly similar. No one has ever managed to breach the ceiling of 30% long term giving up on smoking. So all of these drugs are, you know, pills that you can take that might help, but we're not very successful so far. One other strategy you could try, which won't be available yet, is actually a smoking vaccine, which I think is incredible.
How does that work?
Well, what you do is you take a molecule that, again, looks a bit like nicotine, and it's a vaccine, so a very small amount, and it stimulates antibodies, do I have the right word? And so when you then smoke and nicotine enters your bloodstream, the nicotine is swallowed up by the antigens in a big complex. Antibodies, I'm so sorry, Chris. And those are, in fact, too big to cross the blood-brain barrier, so the nicotine just doesn't activate the receptors it normally does. Now, this isn't, you know, this is still in clinical trials, but it's proved promising so far.
There's a similar technique to treat people who are on cocaine. I think they've done the same chemical trick where you take the cocaine and link it to a molecule that makes the immune system react to it, and you make antibodies against cocaine. And I think that the way it works is it sort of blunts the delivery of the drug to the nervous system, so you don't get that big chemical surge of pleasure. And so you forget to associate taking the drug with feeling good, and so it kind of breaks the addictive cycle.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem with vaccination is that the antibody concentrations might not be large enough to counter a serious relapse where you smoke lots of cigarettes.
Determined smoker.
Determined smoker. It may not put them off.
Another 20 cigarettes in the mouth at once.
Well, I mean, another problem is that you may actually not just be addicted to the nicotine. When you smoke a cigarette, you're probably also addicted to the irritating rush of smoke against your throat. So just taking nicotine replacement gum doesn't stop you wanting that rush of smoke. So some scientists told us the best anti-smoking strategy is to smoke a cigarette that doesn't have any nicotine in it, and at the same time take your nicotine replacement gum. And that way you're actually, you're sort of decoupling the two mechanisms. One, the nicotine withdrawal symptoms, that's what the gum is doing. And the other one is that sort of pleasure you associate with the smoke and the sense of a cigarette. And that's what the nicotine-free cigarette is providing.
Well, one problem with smoking is it makes people look a lot older than they really are. And there's a medical phenomenon called smoker's face. And one of the things that doctors look for in a patient when they come to see them is lines around the mouth and the obvious complexion of someone who's smoked for a long time. Now, chemistry has a few things that it can throw at the ageing process now, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, you might remember earlier in May that there were huge queues outside of a boots store when shoppers were keen to get their hands on this anti-wrinkle cream, which Manchester researchers had apparently shown was actually worked. In fact, this anti-wrinkle cream contains pro-retinol, an active ingredient. It's not new. It's not exclusive to this product.
It's vitamin A, isn't it?
It's vitamin A. It's a precursor to vitamin A. And vitamin A does, in fact, you know, it has study support that it increases the amount of collagen under your skin, that kind of stringy, fibrous protein that makes your skin supple and elastic. But cosmetics are not drugs. A drug with vitamin A in it, something like a treatment for acne or something like that, you know, you can put in a lot of active ingredient. A tightly regulated cosmetic can only really change the appearance of your wrinkles. There just simply isn't allowed to be enough active ingredient to actually do something to your skin.
But just very briefly, Richard, what sorts of chemicals can you put into your skin to iron out wrinkles in a hurry?
Well, we already mentioned vitamin A. You've also got vitamin C. That's also a cofactor for collagen production. The alpha hydroxy acids that you get from fruit, they're just acidic and they just break down your dead skin cells to leave the new ones underneath. Then there's also your antioxidants that perhaps prevent skin aging by scavenging up the free radicals. Then you've got these peptides, which are copies of the precursors that go towards producing collagen protein. So they're the kind of thing you can put in. And that's all fairly well understood. It's just a case of how much a cosmetic can have in it. Now, what's quite interesting is that a new branch called a cosmeceuticals industry is trying to create much more bioactive products, much more like drugs, much less like cosmetics. And they're trying to inject fillers into your skin, which perhaps stimulate your cells to produce more collagen. And whether they're going to succeed in that, which would be a whole billion-dollar industry if it ever succeeded, we'll see.
Thank you very much, Richard. That's Richard Van Orden from Chemistry World, from the Royal Society of Chemistry. You can find out more about what he's been up to on the web at chemistryworld.org.
The Naked Scientist Podcast, brought to you by thenakedscientist.com.